Think about the last time you judged someone harshly for their behavior. Maybe it was a stranger who cut you off in traffic, a politician who made a controversial decision, or someone who fell for an obvious scam. Our instinct is almost always the same. We assume something must be fundamentally wrong with them. They're selfish, stupid, or morally deficient. But here's an unsettling truth that cuts to the heart of social psychology. People who do crazy things are not necessarily crazy. When 613 parents in Jonestown killed their children and themselves in 1978, neighbors back home were stunned. These weren't monsters. They were teachers, nurses, social workers, ordinary people who, under extraordinary circumstances, did the unthinkable. This gap between who we think we are and what we're capable of becoming reveals the most important insight about human nature. We are profoundly shaped by forces we rarely recognize. Our brains evolved for survival on the African savanna, not modern complexity. Robin Dunbar discovered our neocortex can maintain only about 150 meaningful relationships, explaining why Facebook feels overwhelming and why large organizations function better as smaller communities. We're wired with negativity bias. We spot angry faces faster than happy ones, remember insults longer than compliments, and share bad news more readily. This once prevented death, but now fuels anxiety and distorts reality. Most dangerously, we suffer from naive realism, the conviction that our view is simply how things are. When others disagree, we question their intelligence or morality, not our interpretation. Combined with confirmation bias, this explains why people cling to debunked beliefs, cherry-picking supporting evidence while dismissing contradictions. These aren't character flaws. They're mental shortcuts that once kept us alive, but now fuel division in a world demanding nuance. We place ourselves at the center of our universe in revealing ways. You remember information better when it relates to you personally, overestimate your contributions to group projects, and recall your own statements more accurately than others' comments. This creates the spotlight effect. We dramatically overestimate how much others notice our flaws. Students wearing embarrassing Barry Manilow t-shirts believed half their classmates noticed, when only 20% actually did. Paradoxically, we also believe we observe others more than they observe us, simultaneously feeling overly visible yet uniquely perceptive. Beyond survival needs, we have fundamental social motives that shape everything we do. The most powerful is belonging, our need for stable, meaningful connections. Brief experiences of exclusion trigger brain responses identical to physical pain, lighting up the same neural circuits as bodily injuries. People who feel excluded often rate themselves as less human, and chronic loneliness weakens immune function and cognitive performance. This isn't melodrama, it's biology. We make career choices, consumer decisions, even political alignments based not on pure logic, but on their potential social impact. Understanding this reveals why social media feels simultaneously essential and toxic, why workplace culture matters more than salary, and why ostracism has been used as punishment throughout human history. When actions clash with beliefs, we rewrite our beliefs rather than change behavior. This is cognitive dissonance, the tension from holding contradictory ideas. Smokers confronted with cancer warnings rarely quit. They doubt the science or insist smoking relieves stress. In a classic experiment, students paid $1 to lie about enjoying a boring task, later rated it genuinely enjoyable, while those paid $20 did not. The underpaid needed internal justification, I must have liked it, while the well-paid had external reasons. This operates unconsciously. After romantic rejection, we gradually see the person as less desirable, rewriting history without realizing it. The effort justification effect shows we value what's difficult to obtain. College women enduring severe initiations rated boring discussions as fascinating, while those joining easily found them dull. This explains persistent hazing, vigorous defense of expensive purchases, and our reluctance to admit pointless sacrifices. Accepting that creates unbearable dissonance, so we reconstruct reality to justify choices. We aren't rational beings who occasionally rationalize, we're rationalizing beings who occasionally stumble into rationality. Solomon Ash's line experiments revealed that 35% of participants conformed to obviously incorrect judgments when Confederates unanimously gave wrong answers. Stanley Milgram's obedience studies were even more disturbing. 67% of ordinary people administered what they believed were lethal electric shocks simply because an authority figure instructed them to continue. We conform for two reasons: to gain information from others and to avoid social rejection. Normative conformity, the desire to fit in, often wins even when we know better. This explains why teenagers engage in risky behaviors they privately oppose, why corporate cultures turn ethical people into fraud enablers, and why good cops stay silent about bad cops. The frightening insight? Conformity and obedience aren't flaws in defective individuals. They're features of normal human psychology. Recognizing how powerfully situations shape behavior allows us to design better systems, create accountability structures, and acknowledge our own vulnerability rather than assuming we're immune. Prejudice stems from normal psychological processes, not inherently bigoted personalities. When resources are scarce, dominant groups exploit minorities, with prejudice attitudes intensifying during competition. Throughout American history, hatred toward immigrant groups has fluctuated with perceived job competition, rising during economic downturns, fading during prosperity. Self-justification drives much prejudice. When we treat a group cruelly, we convince ourselves they deserve it, viewing them as unworthy or subhuman. This preserves our moral self-image while committing immoral acts, evident from slavery to the Holocaust to modern discrimination. Stereotype threat compounds these injustices. When people fear confirming negative stereotypes about their group, that anxiety impairs performance, creating a self-fulfilling prophecy. Well-prepared African-American students often underperform on tests because the testing situation activates stereotype worries, consuming cognitive resources needed for the task. The cruelest aspect? This performance gap then gets cited as evidence justifying the original stereotype, a vicious cycle where prejudice generates the very evidence used to justify its existence. We swim in an ocean of persuasion. It works through two pathways: the central route, where we carefully weigh arguments, and the peripheral route, where we rely on simple cues like celebrity endorsements or catchy slogans. Most of us believe we take the central route, but research reveals we typically default to peripheral processing, especially when tired, distracted, or emotionally aroused. The most effective persuasion makes us believe we reached conclusions independently. Self-persuasion is particularly dangerous because we don't recognize external influence. We genuinely feel we thought it through ourselves, making us resistant to contradictory evidence. This explains why fact-checking often backfires and why subtle propaganda succeeds. The question isn't whether you'll be influenced. You will be, constantly. The question is whether you'll recognize these forces and develop awareness to resist manipulation while remaining open to genuine persuasion. Understanding social psychology isn't just intellectually interesting, it's an act of self-defense. Your mind is the last territory you truly control. Guard it wisely, question your certainties, and remember that the person most capable of deceiving you is yourself.